Well, it has just been a delight to be here with you all, you good people here this this Sunday and this beautiful Sunday. We need to just stop and thank God for His beautiful creation. This has been one of those picture-perfect days as far as weather goes, and it's just been a delight to be here with you all. I've just thoroughly enjoyed the drive here and back every time, and that kind of made it just be able to help me kind of get in the mood of what God was laying on my heart. And so it has just been a privilege to be here, and I appreciate Brother Cook and his willingness to kind of be the point man in between it all. And he's done a wonderful job up front this today, hasn't he? That's not an easy job. I've had to MC a couple services, and it looks easy from the pew till you get up and you have to come up with something on the fly. And even if you have notes, it's just little outlines, and you're trying to come up with things to say, and it just all of a sudden every word that you've ever said all your life, it just leaves your brain, and you're just trying to think, come up with something intelligent to say, and it's just not coming. And he's done a wonderful job. I've just enjoyed being here with you all today, and let's continue to remember your pastor and his family in prayer as we go out throughout our week. I know they would really appreciate our prayers over this next week. And so I feel like God was leading me to the topic of prayer this evening to preach on, and that song that you led us, it was a perfect kind of intro to my sermon about, if you have a problem, just take it to the Lord in prayer. And so if you have your Bibles, I'd ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 this evening, and this is just a passage where Jesus is talking to people about what prayer should look like and what we can have available to us through the privilege of prayer that we have. Matthew chapter 7, and I'll be beginning with the verse number 7 of that chapter. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7 says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto you. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent?" I love this verse. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him." And then over in Luke chapter 11, it's the parallel passage, and I just want to read one verse in there. It's the parallel passage that has the same story in it, but there's a little different wording in verse 13 of Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse 13, and it says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, first of all, for the privilege of prayer, and that You have made that available to us, and that the veil was torn in two, and now we can have direct access to You, Father, and we thank You for that. We thank You for Your Word, and that You told us that Your Word would never return void. And these passages of Scripture that I've read this evening and that they have read, we can take and we can internalize, and it can help us become better Christians for You. And it tells us how You want us to think about prayer. And we thank You for that opportunity this evening. Would You be with me? Give me the words that You'd have me to say. And would You help them to hear what You would have them to hear? We love You so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I hope you all had a good Sunday dinner, because I'm going to talk about food for just a little bit. That's all right. I'm not hungry yet, because I had so much food. First of all, Brother Ziegler asked me if I wanted to go to any of your houses this afternoon. And no offense, but I was so close to Mom, I said, "No, sorry, I'm going to have to go home to Mama's cooking this afternoon." So I had a good Sunday dinner, and I'm sure you did too. But not trying to be sacrilegious at all, but sometimes I like to think about prayer something like a grandma Sunday dinner. And you know, don't we all love when grandma gives us an invitation to come over for dinner? And you know, it's not just one of those like fly, just come over and real quick and we'll have dinner, but it's one of those grandma Sunday dinners. And you know, this is, and she's just pulling out all the stops for this meal. She's having friends over and guests, and every cousin that you can ever think you had is coming over. And so grandma's making dinner this afternoon. And so she starts off with, you know, she always has fried chicken. Grandma's, my grandma at least, always has fried chicken. And grandma makes fried chicken like no one else makes fried chicken. You know, it's that golden brown with the crunchy kind of skin on the outside, but it's just so juicy on the inside. And oh, man, grandma's fried chicken. But, you know, if you're not a big fried chicken person, she'll have a beautiful pot roast in the middle of the table with some carrots and potatoes. And the carrots and potatoes have been with that roast for a while, and they've kind of soaked up that juice, and they're almost a little brown now. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, they just taste so good. And then if you like meatloaf, she might have some meatloaf in the middle of the table, and it's just, Grandma, where's all this coming from? And then she has her mashed potatoes, and heaven knows it's not instant mashed potatoes, but it's the real deal. You know, she's peeled those potatoes the night before and kind of let them soak in the water overnight, and oh, some good homemade mashed potatoes with a huge dollop of butter in the middle. Let's come on. We all want to be the first one to get that scoop so we can get the most butter out of anybody else. And she has fresh out of the garden corn and fresh picked green beans. And this is about the time of year for all this. Maybe just a little past, but maybe some of it's canned. But oh, it's so good because grandma just knows how to can all these garden vegetables just perfectly. And then it's not grandma's Sunday dinner without homemade rolls, is it not? And oh, and right before dinner, she kind of calls you to the table, but she scurries into the kitchen real quick, and you hear her open the oven door, and she pulls out those rolls that she timed just perfectly for when everybody comes to the table, and she gets out a stick of butter and kind of rubs it on the top of each one, and the butter just kind of oozes and melts down over the roll, and oh, man, my mouth is watering right now just talking about it. But, you know, you're sitting at the table, and oh, us guys, we kind of loosen a belt buckle, just one loop just a little bit, because we know we're going to need it by the time we're done eating. And we just pull up, and oh, grandma's Sunday dinner. And you know, you eat, and you think you're done, and I can't take another bite. And then you kind of put your napkin on the table, and I am done, and you kind of scoot back. And she says, well, I hope you saved room for dessert. And then she scurries into the kitchen again, and she opens up that oven door, and out comes a fresh baked apple pie. And you know, you can kind of smell the cinnamon, the spices come wafting in from the kitchen. And she runs over to the freezer and grabs some fresh vanilla ice cream, and she puts it on there. And for my fellow coffee drinkers of mine, she pours you a big cup of black coffee or cream, however you like it, and she puts it in front of you, and you can't not eat the fresh baked apple pie. And so you dig in and you just keep eating, and oh man, what a wonderful Sunday dinner from Grandma. And if we stop and think about it, isn't that what God kind of does for us? He says, hey, I've spread a table of blessings and of the need, of the things that you need in your life, of the desires of your heart, of the things that you need from day to day, and blessings that I just want to lavish on you, and I've just spread it at a table. And He invites us. He says, come and ask and seek and knock for things that you need in your life. It's kind of mind-blowing when we stop and think that the God of the universe, the God of all this beautiful creation outside that we see, invites us to come and to ask Him for things. When we stop and think that about that for a second, it just kind of almost blows our mind, doesn't it? When the God of the universe that is all-powerful and that has created all the beautiful things that we see around us stops and says, hey, I want you to come and to ask me for things that you need in your life. I want to meet your needs. I want to bless you from the abundance of my table of blessings. One thing that I like to always tell people is not only is our God powerful, and trust me, He is a powerful God, but He's a personal God, isn't He? Aren't you thankful for that our God is not only powerful, but He's personal, and He cares about each and every one of us. And when we have needs and when we have problems and we have even desires in our lives, He says, come and ask me for those things because I have spread before you a lavish banquet of the things that you need in your life. Not only is our God powerful, but He's personal. The first thing I see in this passage about prayer is that there needs to be a pursuit in our praying. Matthew chapter 7 and verses 7 to 8 says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Now when we read these verses, they almost seem a little repetitive, don't they? And then it kind of curiouses me a little bit when he says ask and seek and knock. Why didn't he just say ask, or seek, 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 or knock, knock, knock? Why did he have three different things in this passage? Now I have an idea, and I don't know if this is completely correct, but I think that this is maybe what he intended to do with these different stages of asking or seeking and knocking is he wanted to call for a repeated and an intentional, continual approach before God. It's not something that we just kind of flippantly say and move on our way, but he's saying you need to come and you need to repeatedly and continually approach me before me in prayer. This needs to be a continual and a repeated action in your life. And you know, sometimes we feel like we might be at different levels of accessibility to God. Have you ever felt like you're just so close to God that you were almost in His presence as you went throughout your day, and you could almost just whisper a prayer to Him, and you just knew that He was right there listening to you? But then there's some times when we kind of walk through the valley, isn't there? And we have tough times, and we might have dry times in our devotions, and it just seems like there's a big brass door between us and heaven. And for some reason, our prayers just aren't quite getting through that door. I like to give an analogy of a little boy and his father. And the little boy and his father are sitting at the breakfast table one morning, and they're eating breakfast, and the little boy has something that he needs to ask his dad. And so since his dad's right there, he just asks him for it. And his dad replies, and a little bit later on in the day, little Johnny was out in the yard playing, and he thought of another thing that he needed to ask his dad. So he ran into the kitchen, and his dad wasn't there, and so he went and sought his dad out. And he found him where we find a lot of our dads, and in their easy chairs and in the living room. And so little Johnny went and tapped on Dad's arm and said, "Dad, can I have this?" And then a little later on in the day, Johnny was out playing in the yard again, and he thought of another thing that he needed to ask his dad. So he ran into the kitchen, and Dad wasn't in the kitchen. He ran to the easy chair, and his dad wasn't in the easy chair either. So he said, "Oh, I know where my dad's at. He's in his office." And so he ran down the hallway, and the door was shut, and so he knocked on the door and said, "Hey, Dad, can I come in?" And of course, his dad said, "Open up the door, come on in." And you know, sometimes in prayer, there just needs to be a pursuit in our praying. Sometimes we might feel like we can just ask God for something because we just feel like we're in His presence right there. But you know, sometimes we might need to go seek Him out in our prayer closets and say, "God, this is something that I have a need in my life, and I am intentionally seeking You today with this problem." And maybe you are one of those people that just kind of feel like there's a brass door between you and heaven. And it's just a big, thick door that nothing's getting through. Well, this passage says to knock. Just knock, and it says it's going to be opened. So if you're having some needs in your life this morning, or this evening, make sure that we have an intentional pursuit in our prayer. And one thing that keeps sticking out in my mind in this passage that every time the little boy can ask his dad for something, he has to be in the presence of his father. You know, you can't ask, well, besides cell phones these days, but if you're going to ask somebody in person, you have to be in their presence, right? You can't just ask them if you're not with them. And so I think we can implicitly draw from this passage that we need to pursue the presence of our Heavenly Father. We need to not only pursue Him in prayer for our needs in our lives, but we need to pursue the presence of Jesus, of God, our Father, with a passion. We need to come to prayer and say, "God, I want to be in Your presence today. Because when I'm going throughout my day and I have something come up that I need, I want You just right there where I can just kind of tug on Your sleeve and say, 'God, I need this in my life. Heavenly Father, I need this. Give me advice in this area or this area.'" Let's pursue the presence of our Heavenly Father in prayer. I heard a statement once that says, prayer is more about the giver than the gift. If we stop and think about that for a minute, prayer is more about the giver than the gift. When we go to prayer, we need to remember that it's not just a list of the things that we need in our lives, but also this is a time for us to come into the presence of our Heavenly Father. And then after we've been in the presence of our Heavenly Father, we can begin to ask Him for the needs in our lives. Let's pursue prayer and His presence with a passion as we go out in our week this week. Not only is there a pursuit, but there's a petition. In verses 9 and 10 of that passage it says, "Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent?" In these verses, we find a son asking his father for the needs that he has in his life. The boy was hungry, so he came to his dad and said, "Dad, I need food. I'm hungry." Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus." We have a God that will supply each and every one of your needs this evening. The previous two verses tell us that if we ask, we will receive, and if we seek, we will find. If we knock, it will be opened. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Are you burdened down with something this evening? Have you received news this week of something that's just kind of dragging you down? Or maybe you're in the midst of a situation that you need help, and you just seem like you're so burdened and you're heavy laden. The Father says, "Come to me and I will give you rest in that situation." "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That's in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Let's come boldly into the throne of grace this week with our problems and with our needs and with our petitions, because we have a good Heavenly Father that's there to meet our needs. But as we've learned, everything we ask for doesn't automatically show up, doesn't it? Does it? I've asked for a lot of things that I was absolutely sure that this was the will of God, and they just did not show up, and it just did not work out like I thought it needed to be. And I know by the nods of heads out there, you've all experienced the same thing. So what does this passage of Scripture mean if it says we can ask and we're going to receive it? Well, I like to turn the question around. If the boy can ask for a fish, he can also ask for a serpent too, can't he? If he can ask for a fish in his life, he can probably ask for a serpent or a stone also. We need to maybe flip that question around. And I like to use another analogy of little Johnny and his father again to kind of help us understand that concept. You know, little Johnny just loved the pet store in the mall, and dad and little Johnny walked away from mom because mom's just shopping all the time, and she goes to all the racks, never buys anything, but looks at every single rack and all the deals, but always just looks at it, maybe even tries it on and puts it back and walks it. And dad and little Johnny were tired of following mom around the mall, so they went off by themselves, and he saw the pet store, and he said, "Dad, can we go in the pet store?" And so they went into the pet store, and oh, little Johnny was just having so much fun looking at the puppies and petting the puppies, and he saw some rabbits, and so he was petting the rabbits, and he saw those little ducklings that they have sometimes in those little glass cages in the pet stores, and he saw cats, and I'm sorry if you're a cat lover, but I'm not a huge fan. And so they were petting the cats, and dad said, "Let's move on. Cats aren't my favorite." And so as they were walking through the pet store, though, little Johnny saw a big glass cage in the back of the store, and said, "Dad, let's go look at that." And so they went back to the back of the store, and would you know it, there was a big snake just coiled up in the corner of that glass container in the back. And if Tim Lanigan was here tonight, he'd be cringing and probably running out the door just me telling that story, if anybody knows Tim and his love for snakes. But little Johnny was just in awe of this snake, and he loved snakes, and he just thought it was the coolest thing. He said, "Dad, look at that snake. It has that little tongue that keeps coming out of its mouth, and it's kind of coiling around, and Dad, can I hold it? I want to pet the snake, Dad. You let me pet the dog. I want to pet the snake." And I'm sure the dad said, "Assistant, can you come over here and get the snake so my son can hold it?" No, I doubt it. I doubt the dad said, "Hey, come over here so he can pet the snake." And you know, sometimes when we're down here on earth and all we can see is the next step in front of us, it might look like the best thing that could possibly happen in our life at that moment. You know, little Johnny thought holding that snake was the best possible thing that could happen for him at that moment. But Dad saw the end result, didn't he? And our Heavenly Father, which we talked about this morning, is a good Heavenly Father. And He sees the end result. He can stand above us and look down upon our lives, and maybe the thing that we're asking for would in turn hurt us and cause us to maybe even walk away from Him. So when we're praying this week or we're praying in the future, if we're asking for something that we are just for sure is in God's will, maybe we should stop and think, am I really asking for a snake right now when I should be asking for some bread? So let's remember this week as we pray. Well, 1 John 5, I always like to back what I say up with Scripture. 1 John 5, verses 14 through 15 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will," that's the key right there, "and He heareth us, and we know that He hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him." So even if you're not sure if it's in His will, let's ask. Let's be bold prayers this week, and let's be bold prayers of this church. And as we have needs that come up in our life, let's boldly come to the Father, fall before the throne of grace, and petition the needs and pursue prayer of the things that we have in our lives. There's a story, if any of you have ever read God's Smuggler, and it tells a story about Brother Andrew, and I just loved that book. I had to read it when I was in school. And it tells a really, really interesting story. It happened during the Cold War, and communist countries were keeping a tight control on their borders. But God had called Brother Andrew to help the Christians behind the Iron Curtain. And so one day, Brother Andrew pulled up to a checkpoint with a suitcase full of Bibles in his car, and he felt like God was calling him to take Bibles behind the Iron Curtain to some of the Romanian, some Christians back the Romanian border. He was trying to get across it and take some Bibles to the Christians. And he pulled up to the checkpoint, and there was only 6 cars in front of him. So he got excited because he thought that he would quickly be able to just slip through the checkpoint. But he sat there in the first car. They spent 45 minutes just taking the car apart and taking the seats out and even taking the engine apart. And every single piece of luggage they would take of the person and just spread out on the ground. And they repeated that of all the 5 or 6 cars that were in front of them. And one by one, Brother Andrew began to get closer and closer to the checkpoint. And he knew there was no amount of cleverness that he could come up with to hide those Bibles. And so he began to pray. And he said, "Dear Lord, what am I going to do? Any serious inspection will show up these Romanian Bibles right away." He went on to say, "Lord, I have no amount of cleverness on my part that can help me get through this border check." I love this next line. "Dare I ask for a miracle? Let me take some of the Bibles out and leave them in the open where they will be seen. Then, Lord, I cannot possibly be depending on my own stratagems, can I? I will be depending utterly upon You." And so that's what Brother Andrew did. He took, while the guards were so intensely inspecting some of the last cars, he reached back into his suitcase and got some Bibles out and just set them right there on the back seat of his car. Because he said, "There's nothing that I can do, so I'm going to solely depend upon God and in prayer." And while the last car was going through his chilling inspection, he began to pray. Finally, it was his turn, and he put his little VW into low gear and pulled up and stopped, and the brakes squeaked a little, and he began to open the door as he handed him his papers, but he couldn't open the door because the guard's knee was right up against the car, and he said, "No, just stay in there." The guard quickly looked at the passport and scribbled something down and shoved the papers back under the nose and abruptly waved them on. He said, "Surely 30 seconds had not passed. I started the engine and inched forward. Was I supposed to pull over out of the way where the car could not be taken? I wasn't supposed to just keep going." And so he kept coasting slowly and slowly. And as he looked in the rearview mirror, he saw the guard wave the next car up and stop him and have the person get out and go into the building. And they began to do that arduous inspection of the next car. And he just sighed a deep sigh of relief. And he said, "My heart was racing. Not with the excitement of the crossing, but with the excitement of having caught such a spectacular glimpse of God at work. Our God is a God of miracles. Our God is a God that if you have a problem in your life, a big problem in your life, that nothing else besides a miracle can fix it. We need to fall before the throne of grace to find help in time of need and say, 'God, I'm going to petition You the needs that I have in my life right now. I can't do this on my own. I can't, there's no possible way I could come up with a solution. I'm bringing it to you because you're my heavenly Father. You're a good Father, and you invite me to bring my needs and my problems before you and to fall before you and cast them upon you. We serve a good heavenly Father, don't we, this evening? Let's petition Him with our needs, with the problems that we have in our life. And then lastly, I love this point. We have a promise. Verse 11 of Matthew chapter 7 says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children." Wow. "How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask Him?" And then over in Luke chapter 11 and verse 13, it says, "How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" Isn't that just like our Father? To give us the Holy Spirit in times like these in our lives. When we pursue and we petition and we come boldly unto the throne of grace that we can obtain mercy and find grace and help of need, we can have confidence when we give Him our needs that our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. We serve a God, we serve a good Father, and He only has our best interests in mind. And only wants to give us what is good. And if we accidentally ask for something that's bad in our lives, He says, "No, I don't want to give you the snake. I want to give you bread. I want to give you something that is good for you." We can live victorious lives also because He said in Luke that He's going to give us the Holy Spirit. And as we go throughout our day, we can have the guide of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And when things come up in our lives, we can have the nudge in our back of the Holy Spirit saying, "No, you don't need to do that. You need to do this." And I'm so thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we've felt here today in our services. And aren't you glad that when we can leave here and we leave the presence and the camaraderie of this group, body of believers, that when we go out into a lost and a dying world, we can have the hope of that we have the Holy Spirit on our side that is leading and guiding us every step of the way, all the way home to heaven. I'm glad that our Heavenly Father isn't only interested in our physical needs, the thing we need to our bread and our homes and our clothes, but He's also interested in our spiritual needs. And that's why He said, "Anyone that asks of Me, I will give you the Holy Spirit." We serve a good Father this evening. So let's remember that we need to pursue His presence and prayer with a passion. Let's remember that we need to petition the things that we have in our lives to our Heavenly Father, and remember that if we do those two things, we have a promise that we have a good Father that is there to meet our needs. I want to end with a story this evening, and this is one of probably my favorite story on prayer. This story took place in 1st century BC. The young children were dancing in the downpour like it was the first rainy day they had ever seen. Parents were dancing right along with their children and throwing their head back and catching the rain in their mouth. And you know, when it hasn't rained in more than a year, raindrops are like diamonds falling from the sky. It would go down in history as the day where puddle jumping became an act of praise, and the day where the legend of the circle maker was born. So you see, a devastating drought had threatened to destroy a generation. This was the generation before Jesus. And all the prophets had died off 4 centuries ago, and God was nowhere to be heard. But there was one man that dared to pray anyways. And he believed, and his name was Honai, and he believed that even though no one could hear God anymore, that God could still hear them. And he was famous for his ability to pray for rain. And so the townspeople went out to his hut and said, "Honai, we need you to come to the center of town and we need you to pray for rain. We are in desperate need of rain in this region." And so with his staff in hand, he went to the middle of the village and he put his staff in the dirt and he slowly began to turn around until he had completely formed a circle in the ground, in the dusty ground. And then he dropped to his knees and began to pray a simple yet profound prayer. He said, "Lord of this universe, I swear before your great name that I will not move from this circle until you have shown mercy upon your children. Now, if you ask me, that's a prayer filled with expectancy and faith, isn't it? He had a lot of faith to say, I'm not moving from this circle till rain begins to fall. And then, as you can imagine, it happened. The heavens opened up and it began to rain. And they say that the rain was as big, the history books say the rain was as big, the drops were as big as eggs. And they were just falling from the sky, and they had to flee to the mount of the hill in Israel. It slipped my mind right. Temple Mount. They had to flee to the Temple Mount because they were afraid of flash floods. But Honai stayed in the circle and he said, no, Father, this isn't the rain that I prayed for. I prayed for a gentle rain that would just come and soak the earth and fill the cisterns back up. And then all of a sudden the rain changed from those big egg drops to just that nice gentle spring rain that, you know, comes and soaks into the ground. And that man knew how to pray, and he had some faith and expectancy in his prayer. And maybe there's some things in your life that you need to kind of circle in prayer. Maybe there's some things that you need to say, hey, God, I'm going to circle this person in prayer in my family. You know, they've walked away from God, and I've prayed for them for years, but I'm going to specifically this week just circle them in my prayer. And I'm going to kind of form a circle in my prayer closet this week and fall in that circle every day and pray for that person. Or maybe there's a need in your life, and it just seems like it's not being met. Let's take a big permanent marker and circle that thing and several times and say, God, I'm circling this need in my life right now. I need your help in it. I want to pray with faith and expectancy that God will meet my needs. So let's remember this week that we need to pursue God's presence and prayer with a passion. Let's remember that we need to petition Him for the needs that we have. And let's remember that there's a promise that we have if we do those two things. Let's dare to pray big prayers this week. Let's dare to become a people that's known for our praying. When people see us, they want to come up to us and say, hey, I have this need in my life. Would you help me pray about it? Let's be people of prayer. Let's be people of bold prayers. Let's be known as a people that is a people that circles things in prayer and prays boldly and comes to the Father with faith and expectancy. I'm glad that we serve a good Heavenly Father this evening, and that He invites us and wants us to come and to ask Him for the things that we have in our lives. Let's stand and be the Smith this evening. Brother Warren, would you dismiss us in prayer as we leave?